Good afternoon. So last time we talked about y86. This time we're going to be talking about stuff that's nominally in C. It has a bit more relationship to the hardware. Start with this problem that we have. So let's say a pointer to the first byte of a y86 instruction, and we want to extract what I'm calling the opcode, what the book calls the iCode field. That's the top 4 bits, which tell us what category of instruction is it. Is it a push, a pop? Is it one of the arithmetic instructions, and so on? So what's a way we could do this in C? Any ideas? What would be the sort of C code I want to write to do this? There's a straightforward way from that you should know from 2150, yeah.
And with F.
Okay, so one way that we alluded to is that there's some solution that involves bitwise operators, which is what we're going to cover today. But there's in fact a solution which doesn't need that. We'll show you what the bitwise operator solution looks like later. You don't actually need to AND, though it's not a bad idea. There's some solution that's just stuff that you should definitely know from 2150 or even just 2110 that can solve this problem. Just with arithmetic. Okay, so no one thinking about it. So just like if I want to get the top digits of a number, I can divide by like 1,000 to drop off the last 3. I can divide by 16, that's 2^4, to drop off the last 4 bits. So even without any of the bitwise operator stuff, if you start on the lab for this week, you can do this. You can just do it with arithmetic. We have arithmetic in C. We have arithmetic in our instruction set. All this bitwise operator stuff you could do with arithmetic. And this division is fairly straightforward. Makes sense that you divide by 16. That just gets rid of the bottom 4 bits, since 16 is 10000 in binary. And this will definitely work. And the most straightforward way of compiling this, we'd get something where we move from memory into a 1-byte register, and then we do the division instruction on that register. So there's somewhat of an issue with that. And this is not a correctness one, but a performance one. So division is pretty complicated, and this division is not complicated. This division looks really simple, but division in general is pretty complicated. So the divide instruction that works on 32-bit, 16, or 8-bit values on, for example, the Intel Skylake microarchitecture, which is like a year or two old, takes around 6 cycles per division. So a modern desktop class processor, around 6 cycles per division. And if you're doing an 8-byte, a 64-bit division, it's in fact much worse, like many tens of cycles. And in contrast, if you consider something like addition, the same microarchitecture can do 4 additions per cycle. So you can do 24 times as many additions as of these small divisions. And this isn't a case where it really seems like we have that problem. We're just extracting the top bits. And in the machine, we're going to have a bunch of wires with each of the bits, and we're just selecting some of those wires. So to make that more concrete, let's talk a bit about wires and pictures of wires. This is probably going to come up more later on, next time and next week, as we talk about processor design. We're going to want to talk about wires, and in our computer, we put bits on wires. So each wire conceptually holds 0 or 1. Reality, it holds a voltage. We have some voltage we say is 0, some we say is 1. And we say that we have the same value across the whole wire. In reality, we put a value on one end of the wire, and it propagates to the rest of the wire with some small delay that usually we will consider like not worth caring about. Okay. And I'll commonly draw pictures where I'll represent a wire with just a straight black line, and I'll put a label next to the wire saying this is the value that that wire is holding. And often, we actually want to represent a bigger value. Like here, this might be 26. You have multiple wires, each one represents a bit of a number. We're actually representing the number 26. And this is kind of awkward to draw. And if you think about the processor we're building, we like have two 64-bit values added together. If I tried to draw 64 times three of these wires like this, I would not have anything else in the slide, and you also wouldn't be able to read it. So I'm not going to do that. So one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to commonly say, okay, we just have a bunch of wires and they hold this value rather than writing out each of the bits. And I'll take an even stronger shorthand on that and just write one wire with a value that clearly isn't one bit. And what I really mean is I don't really have one wire, I have a bunch of wires in parallel and they hold those bits together. And I'm not even telling you whether I have five or like 30. We'll have to have other information to tell you that. So any questions about this sort of notation? So for today, we're mostly going to be dealing with sort of individual bits. So we'll have mostly this, but later on we're going to have lots of pictures where we use this sort of shorthand because we're like dealing with 64-bit register values and no one wants to see 64 parallel lines on a slide and try to figure out which of them intersect with other lines. So any questions? Okay. So with this sort of notation in mind, what we're actually doing with this, what we did the division for, is that we have the top byte of our instruction, and we just want to take some of the wires and put them somewhere. And conceptually, in hardware, this is free. Since we think that moving values down wires is basically negligible time, you know, it takes a little bit of time, it's basically free. So this operation is really, really cheap, and now we're doing it with something really, really expensive, which is division. And we'd like the hardware to expose a better way of doing this operation, because it actually is fundamentally something that's pretty simple in the hardware. So we're going to expose an operation for just taking these wires from the middle of our value, these bits, and putting them in the bottom of our value, which is basically what we're doing here. And the basic operation we're going to have for that is going to be something called shift right. So this is going to take our bits, move them over, and this is conceptually dropping those first four wires when we're shifting by four, and giving us all the others. Now, this is going to be an instruction. It works on a register. We can't start with a 32-bit register and end up with a 28-bit register. We don't have 28-bit registers, it doesn't work. So we have a few extra things at the end where we didn't shift anything over, which have to have a value. We have to put something in the register. So something needs to go there. And for now, we're gonna make an arbitrary choice, but probably the most sensible choice, and put in zeros. Going to say I have to put some bit there, I'm going to put in zeros. That's probably the most neutral bit. When I'm like extracting the opcode, you know, that's really what I want. I want zeros rather than some other chunk in there. And this is actually an x86 instruction, which either takes a constant amount or a value in a register, a one byte register. Actually, only the one byte register CL about how much to shift. In this case, we're shifting by four, but you could do it by a larger amount or a smaller amount. So any questions about what this operation is doing? Okay, so given this, we can write our getOpcode function in assembly where we take the byte and extract it, then shift the byte over by four. So one move instruction, this is a move which moves a byte into a long, adding zeros, that's what the ZBL part is for, and then a shift right by a constant. And that's our result. And so we can have this, write this by hand, but of course we don't really want to write assembly by hand. And in fact, there's a way of explicitly asking for this in C, and that's this operator here, which is called the right shift operator. It's two greater than signs, and that says to shift right, and it compiles exactly into our shift right instruction. So any questions about this so far? Okay, so we can get this in C this way. And so we have two ways we can write our get opcode function. You might say, okay, which is faster? And it turns out our compiler knows that you can do this too. And if you look at how division by 16 gets compiled, the compiler compiles both of these to use the right shift. The compiler has a rule where it knows, oh, dividing by 16 with the divide instruction would be really slow, but there's this shortcut because it's a power of 2 that you can just shift the bits over. So it has that as a rule if you turn on optimization, and so the compiler will do this. And you'll commonly see it in generated code if you're dividing by a constant. That is a power of 2 or close enough to it. And in general, shifting right is going to be equivalent to dividing by the appropriate power of 2 and rounding down. So there is one case I forgot about, and that's that this is all positive numbers. And you may have noticed I was being a little sneaky here, and I'm using an unsigned char, and that is deliberate. So it's always positive. And you might say, well, what about negative numbers? Like, this property doesn't seem to hold for that because we have a 1 in the rightmost bit, and we shift that 1 over and add in zeros, and we flip the sign of the number. It's not going to be the same as dividing by 2. And we really like to use this for dividing by 2. So we have this observation. If we're dividing a negative number by 2, let's do this in terms of dividing a positive number. So I start with a negative number, and then I flip all the bits and add 1 to get the corresponding positive number in 2's complement. Then I right shift by 1 to divide that positive number by 2. Then I flip all the bits again and add 1 to get the negative number divided by 2. And because we're flipping the bits, shifting in a 0, then flipping the bits again, this is the same as shifting in a 1 instead of a 0. So where we made that arbitrary choice, if we make a different one, it's basically the same, except that the rounding might be different. And the rounding does end up being a little bit different. But except for the rounding, if we just shift in 1s, we get actually the result of the division because of this property of what you see happens when you negate and then negate again, that extra added in 0 becomes a 1. And so to deal with this, we have an arithmetic right shift. X86, this is the SAR instruction. In the other class, I forgot it wasn't SARA, but it's SAR. And what this does is when the top bit is a 0, we shift in 0s. When the top bit is a 1, we shift in 1. So we're copying the topmost bit to decide what to shift in, which is the sign bit. And so this does the right thing for approximating division by a power of 2 for signed values. For unsigned values, the other shift, which is called a logical shift, does the right thing because we always want to shift in 0s. So any questions about this? Yeah?
You said it only approximates negative.
Because of the rounding issue. It's not the same as division in C is, because of the rounding issue. So if you compile code which does a signed division by 8, the compiler's going to do a little extra work to make the rounding be the way you expect.
Okay.
And I think this is part of the homework. It's mentioned in the book what you do.
Okay.
The basic story is that the shifting version always rounds down, but division in C rounds towards zero. So in C, the right shift operator actually can do both of these. If you have a signed value, it would do an arithmetic shift. If you have an unsigned value, it will always do a logical shift. So questions about this? And I'm kind of half telling the truth there. So technically, signed right shift is what is known as implementation defined. So it's not undefined behavior. It does do a particular thing, but the standard actually lets the compilers choose what it does. So a compiler conceptually could choose to have it do a logical shift. However, certainly on x86, I know of zero compilers which have made any choice but an arithmetic shift for shifting a signed value. And even on other platforms, I haven't heard of any case where compilers don't choose to do an arithmetic shift. So, and in this class, it will always be an arithmetic shift on the systems we care about. So another note about shifts is that when the shift amount is greater than or equal to the width of a type, what you'd expect is that we shift in all zeros or all ones. All zeros for a logical shift, and all ones for an arithmetic shift if the sign bit started as one. This is not what happens. This is, in fact, undefined behavior. And you are likely to get in trouble if you try it. So in x86, the shift instructions, the way they deal with large shift amounts is they only look at the bottom bits of them. So if you're shifting a 32-bit value and you shift it by 32, it's going to look at the bottom 5 bits of 32. They're all zeros. And it's going to say, I'm shifting by zero. And it's going to shift by zero for you. And the compiler, because it's not required to do anything in particular in that case, is commonly going to generate the code which asks to shift by 32 and, in fact, looks at the bottom 5 bits of 32 and shifts by zero. So don't shift by more than the amount of a value. You won't get the expected results. Any questions about this? So, talked about extracting bits from a value. Another operation we might want to do is constructing instructions. So we have an I code, and I want to make this into an actual machine code. That's a thing that like your assembler probably does somewhere. For example, let's say I know it's one of those instructions which doesn't have multiple variants, multiple function codes, so I'm just gonna shift it, add a bunch of zeros. And we have, you know, something to do that. It's just shifting left. And you might think, well, I can shift by a negative number to shift right to do it. Sorry, just not allowed. But there's a shift left operation, which shifts bits over, but shifts to the other direction and always shifts in zero. Unlike the arithmetic right shift versus logical right shift, we won't have different variants of this. We'll just always shift in zeros. And so this is the way we can take our 4-bit I code and position it in the heart of the value we want, which is the top bits of that byte. And you might note that this is the same, in this case, as multiplying by 16. And that's not a coincidence. So we have our shift left instruction. And that is what I forgot to change. Shift left instruction. And you know, it works basically the same as the shift right instruction. And we have our same equivalency, but with the arrow, with less than signs instead of greater than signs, as far as doing it in C. And we have a similar mathematical relationship where instead of dividing by a power of 2, this is multiplying by a power of 2. So any questions about left shift? So, talked about extracting values and extracting them. So, when I started, we were extracting only a single byte, and we wanted to extract a value, but maybe we're going to load the whole instruction. That would be a thing that makes sense if you're processing machine code. And we want to still extract just the iCode from it, but we have this other junk. We have like the register numbers, or maybe part of the next instruction that we want to get rid of. And then we want to extract this part. So again, this is something that we already knew how to do. You can do this with arithmetic. So if I have an integer that contains a 16-bit integer that contains these bits, what's the arithmetic I can do to extract the iCode? So the first step I'm going to, so before, remember, we took the, we divided by 16, and this got rid of the last 4 bits. So that might be a first step. But how do we get rid of, once we have this number, what's the math to get rid of the other, the top bits? Some mathematical operation you have definitely used, yes? Multiply. So multiplication, if you multiply by a power of 2, would shift the bits over, which is not what we want to do. We want the iCode in the bottom bits. It's in the right place. But it's related. Yeah.
Modulus.
Yes, we want to take the remainder. If you divide by 16, if dividing by 16 chops off the rest, the remainder is going to be exactly what we want. So we could divide by 16, then take the remainder dividing by 16 again, or we could start out by taking the remainder dividing by 256 to get the bottom byte, and then divide by 16. So both of these are ways we could do this with just arithmetic that you should have known in 2110, hopefully. But usually you don't think of manipulating bits in this way. But as we know, division is not a particularly efficient operation, and remainder, the way you do it on x86, is you do a division instruction, and the remainder gets put somewhere. So that's also not particularly efficient. And we know that this is a special case where we can do something much simpler than actually a general division, where the hardware would have to handle like if we were dividing by 3. And it's really easy to do this in hardware. Like that diagram I showed is basically, you know, we just take these wires and make them go somewhere. Like that's really simple in hardware and really efficient in hardware. And it's really generally simple in hardware to like extract and move around individual bits that way. And we have the moving part, but we don't have the sort of extracting part. How do we expose that to software? Yeah. So when we divide by 16, the result is what I have with like red squares around it. We lose the bottom 4 bits. The same way when you divide by 1,000, you lose the bottom 3 digits and decimal. Okay. And the way we're going to expose individual bit manipulation is by exposing sort of our simplest hardware primitive for changing bits, which is gates. So in the hardware, when we have wires, we have circuits, like we read about, combinatorial circuits, where they take in the value on some wires and output a calculated value. And the simplest version of that are these gates. So here is a gate that computes XOR. So we put in some values on a wire, and it outputs a simple function of those two values on the other wire, on single bits. And we've seen gates before. These are our simplest hardware building blocks. And we're going to try to expose these sorts of operations to the software. And in fact, these will be useful for all the sorts of, I want to get particular parts of an integer operations we're probably going to want to do. So let's start by looking at a truth table for one of the more common gates, an AND gate. An AND operation. So here, if we AND with 1, what that does is it keeps the bit the same. It doesn't do anything to a value if we AND a bit with 1. And if we AND with 0, it clears a bit. So if we have an AND operation, what we're going to do is we're going to construct a mask to a value to AND with, where we're going to have a 1 if we want to keep something, and a 0 if we don't. And then we're going to do an AND operation where we're going to take every pair of bits between two values and AND. And if we put a 1 for every bit we want to keep and a 0 for every one we don't, we're going to get to keep only the bits we specify. And this operation, in fact, is something that's exposed in C. The single ampersand operator is bitwise AND. So what it does is it treats each value as an array of bits and takes each bit one by one and ANDs them together. So for example, if we're doing 2 ANDed with 4, 2 is 0, 0, 1, 0, 4 is 0, 1, 0, 0, and we compute 0 AND with 0 is 0, 1 AND with 0 is 0, 0 AND with 1 is 0, and so on. And from the perspective of keeping bits, you can think of this as saying we're taking 2 and we're selecting only the third bit, because that's the only bit set in 4, and clearing all the other bits. And when we do that, we get 0 because 2 did not have the third bit set. Similarly, if we AND 10 with 7, we're taking 10, which is 1, 0, 1, 0, and selecting the bottom three bits because those are the bits that are set in 7. And we have 0 ANDed with 1 is 0, 1 ANDed with 1 is 1, 0 ANDed with 1 is 0, and so on. And we, in fact, get 2 because that's the only thing that's left when we take the bottom three bits out of 10. And so this is what it looks like in C. And of course, it's also available in assembly. In fact, it's the AND instruction, which is one of the instructions you'll have to implement in YAD6. This is also the operation that the test comparison instruction does, except it doesn't store the results. And this is a really nice thing for the hardware to expose. So like, it seems like, well, this is a lot of work. We're doing, you know, if we have a 64-bit register, we're doing 64 AND operations. But the way it works in the hardware is we set up a structure like this. We have two values coming in a bundle of wires, and we just have an array of AND gates. And all the AND gates get to do all their work all at the same time. You know, hardware, we just, all these happen at the same time, so this is actually really efficient in hardware. We just need space for our 64 or however many AND gates. And this is still simpler than what we're going to be doing for fast addition, for example. So given this AND primitive, which I said lets us choose some bits and select them, we can apply that to what we were originally doing of extracting the I code from this whole instruction we had in an integer. So one option is we shift it over by 4 to get the I code in the bottom, and then we AND with this mask which has only the bottom 4 bits set. So that selects the bottom 4 bits, clears all the other ones, and this gets the I code out. Alternately, we could AND with a mask which has the second set of 4 bits set, the ones we want, and then shift the value over to get those 4 bits at the bottom of the integer. These are both the same, they produce a little bit different assembly, but they produce should give the exact same result all the time. And this is the assembly you'd expect to get. So any questions about how these work? How you would come up with those masks? Okay. So AND is the probably most useful of these bitwise operators, but we have two other important ones. So we have OR. So AND you can think of as I specify this mask where my important bits are marked with 1 or 0, and that lets me conditionally set or conditionally keep or clear bits based on where I put the ones in the mask. So if I'm keeping bits, I put ones in the bits I want to keep and zeros everywhere else. If I'm clearing bits, I put zeros in the bits I want to clear and ones everywhere else. and lets me do that. So or lets you set a bit. I put ones in the bits I want to set, no matter what the old value is, and zeros elsewhere. And XOR lets you flip bits. I put ones in the bits I want to flip, and zeros elsewhere, and then XOR, and it flips those bits. And this is just because that's how these truth tables work. So or, you know, if we have a one in either place, we get a one in the result. And XOR, if we have a one, we get the opposite of the original. And all these operators work like our bitwise AND, in that we go bit by bit. So 10 or with 7, 0 or 1 is 1, 1 or 1 is 1, 0 or 1 is 1, 1 or 0 is 1, and so on. So you can think of this as saying, take 10 and set the bottom 3 bits no matter what they're currently set to. Make the bottom 3 bits be 1 no matter what they're set to. And bitwise XOR is flip the bits that are specified. So here we take 10 and flip the bottom 3 bits. So, and so we end up with a 0 here because we're flipping that second bit of 10. So there's one more bitwise operator we're going to talk about besides these AND, OR, and XOR. And this is one which doesn't take two values, so we aren't going to be constructing masks for it. This is the equivalent of negation. So complement, which is represented with a tilde symbol, is the bitwise version of bang, which is the logical negation, logical not. So just like complement, you take any zero, you get one. Sorry, not bang, you take zero, you get one. You take anything that's not zero, you get zero. With complement, you take zero, you get something with all the bits set. And if you remember to use complement as a signed number, that's negative one. You take something with other bits set, you have all the bits flipped. So we have our complement of 2 is going to be end up being negative 3. That's all the bits set except the second to last one. Assuming. And if you do this with unsigned numbers, you get big positive values instead of negative values if you start with a positive value. Any questions on what's happening here? So this, unlike all the others, you get different results depending on the actual size of your value, because we have all the leading zeros do something. So we know about these bits, and we've shown some examples of using them to like extract and construct parts of machine code, which is a real thing you would actually use these for. We're going to go through a bit more toyish examples to give a better understanding of what these are useful for, how you can use them. And we're going to start by looking at the ternary operator. And I'm mentioning this, so this is part of C and Java and C++, but I know some of you have never seen it before or used it. So here we have w equals x question mark y colon z. And this is the same as if x, w is y, else w is z. It's just another syntax for that. It's exactly equivalent otherwise. And we're going to talk about taking this and re-implementing it in C, that if x, then y, else z functionality, without if, else, or obviously the ternary operator itself, and so on. And the idea is we want to produce something where, you know, even in assembly, there would probably be no jumps. Just as an exercise, you can reason about, is this actually going to be faster? The answer is probably not. But this is going to tell us give us an idea how to think about how you can do things with bitwise operators based on that. And I'm going to start keeping things real simple with this constraint here, that x, y, z, are all going to be 0 or 1. They're going to have no other possible values, so that's going to keep things nice and simple. And even with that restriction, it's pretty daunting to say we have 3 values, I need to make the result right in all the cases, maybe I can look at truth tables and do it. So the approach I would recommend using, and I would use for this, is a divide and conquer one. I'm going to split this up into two sub-problems. So my first sub-problem is if x, then y, else 0. My second one is if x, then 0, else c. And since I have 0, since I either have y and 0 or 0 and z, if I OR the results of these two together, I will get my final answer. Because either I'm ordering either y and z, y ORed with 0 is y, 0 ORed with z is z. So if I just solve these separately and then bitwise OR the two results, I will have a solution for the whole problem. So let's look at our first part, this first subproblem. And a way to approach this, since we're at a very simple stage where we have two inputs in our subproblem, is to just look at what the truth table looks like here. So if x is 0, I always want to output 0. If x is 1 and y is 0, I want to output 0. If x is 1 and y is 1, I want to output 1. In fact, what we're doing is we're just doing the AND operation. This is exactly AND. Another way you could have seen that is you could say x represents the bits from y I want. And if you think about the masking definition of AND, that AND is keep only selected bits, it does exactly what we want based on that way of thinking about bitwise AND. So how about the opposite? So that's this first part. So how about the rest? And one thing you can say is, well, this is the same thing as we flip the bits of x and then do what we did originally. And we have an operator to flip the bits of x, so we can just apply that. And if we put those together, we get a solution for this problem with our constraint that all the values are 0 and 1. So does this work if they aren't all 0 or 1? Well, I guess I'll give away the answer probably by asking the question that no, it doesn't. So what's an example of why it doesn't work if they aren't all 0 or 1? What makes this not a complete substitute for the original? So let's take some example values. So let's say x is 0 and y is, I guess 0 is actually not good. So let's take x is 1, y is 2, z is 4. That's an example which won't do the right thing. So let's figure out what the answer is going to be. So we're going to take 1 ended with 2 ORed with tilde 1 ended with 4. So 1 ended with 2, that's going to be 0, 0, 0, 1, and with 0, 0, 1, 0, we're going to get 0. Tilde 1 is going to be 1, 1, 1, 0, ended with 4, which is 1, 0, 0, 0, we're going to get 4. So in fact, our result in that case is going to be 4, not 2. Exactly wrong. And you can see something which happened here is that we were looking to get all zeros here. We wanted to select no bits of z. But we in fact selected all but the bottom bit of z. And we have the wrong mask. We're ending with the wrong thing to keep no bits of z. And similarly, we wanted to select all the bits of y, but we're ending with a mask which only says to keep the bottom bit of y. Because all the other bits are zero, saying don't keep this bit. So So let's extend this to deal with arbitrary y and z, but still keep the constraint to keep things simple for now that x is 0 or 1. And we'll do the same idea of splitting it up into these two subproblems and solving them separately. But what we're going to need to fix up is that problem that simply x is not what we want to end with. It doesn't have the right bit set for the end operation, meaning keep only these bits to have the right bits being selected. So let's take this first part. If x is 1, we want to end with not just the value 1, we want to end with a value which is all 1s to keep y. If x is 0, we want to end y with a value which is all 0s to get rid of y. And you could probably think of some ways of doing this. So like one trick we could do is we could take advantage of an arithmetic shift to shift x over to the sign bit and then shift that all the way back. There is another trick, which is not an efficient bitwise operation that we can do, which is that we can say, minus x actually does the right thing. This is arithmetic minus. So we're either saying minus 0 is 0, or minus 1, and if you remember your 2's complement, minus 1 is all 1's. So in fact, minus x, if you had access to it, does the right thing. Now, it satisfies our original requirement, which is I didn't say you had to do it all with bitwise operations. I said you had to do it all without jumps and things like that. Certainly, this doesn't do any of those. There's going to be a negation operator, subtracting from 0, something like that. That'll do this. So we can do that, and we get this sort of answer. That's C code that will do this. And then we have to worry about the other side, where instead we want the opposite result. If x is 0, we want all 1s. If x is 1, we want all 0s. A simple thing to do is we already know the solution for the other way around. Let's just flip x from 0 to 1. And we have an easy way of doing that of XORing with 1. That's flip the bottom bit. Because the XOR is flip the selected bits. And if we put that together, we get this as one solution. And now this deals with y and z having arbitrary values, but not x. X still has to be just 0 or 1. So any questions on anything this solution does? OK. So let's get rid of our last constraint, that x has to be 0 or 1. So there's an easy way of doing this, which seems kind of cheap, which is that in C, like I said, you can't use but I didn't say you can't use logical negation. And if you remember, the logical operators in C always return 0 or 1 only. So if we negate, we do bang bang, take logical not, then logical not again, we get a 0 or 1 based on whether the value was originally true or false. So that's a trick you can use to do this. And the assembly it compiles to probably won't even contain any branches. It's probably a test instruction followed by either set E or set any. And these are instructions which basically copy the zero flag to a register. But it does seem kind of cheap. So if we do that, we get this full solution. So you might say, this operation seems kind of expensive compared to everything else we're doing. So let's talk about these, how processor performance works. So on a typical modern processor, most of these typical instructions, all the bitwise instructions, and add, subtract, compare, are about one cycle. This is one cycle before you can use the results. And maybe a bit faster if we're talking about how many you can do at a time. So about the same speed. Integer multiply is a little bit slower. Integer divide is a lot slower. 150 is not a typo. And this is for a sort of desktop or laptop class processor. If we're talking about like the processor that's going to be in like your wireless access point, that's different. So you might say, well, isn't addition and subtraction way more complicated than bitwise AND? And you'd be right, it is. It's a lot more complicated than bitwise AND. But it's actually really important to make adding and subtraction fast. And there's really not enough bitwise ANDs and ORs that exposing that it's a simpler operation is really helpful. Right? If you think about a typical application, probably like you maybe every fifth or tenth instruction, or probably even like maybe every second instruction involves an addition, if you think about like address computations. So it's really important to do addition quickly. But bitwise AND and such is a much rarer operation. You know, you probably don't get the benefit of making bitwise AND noticeably faster than addition. So most processor designers have not made the choice of making it faster. So any questions on this? So if not, next we'll fix sort of the problem where we're kind of cheating. Like we're doing this minus X and this bang bang stuff, which seems like, yeah, it's as fast, but you know, doesn't that kind of get rid of the point? We'll look at, well, how can we actually do the bang bang, you know, that zero or one from true or false operation with simpler operations? And so we'll talk about just the problem of going from a value and ending up with 0 or 1, depending on whether the value had any bit set or not. Whether 0 if it was 0, otherwise just a 1, not some random bits are 1, but not all of them. And we saw one solution, which involved having the hardware just having a way to detect 0, basically. But we like to think about, well, first of all, what does that hardware look like, and also, go through the thought process you can have for doing things efficiently with these bitwise operators, which might be more complicated, or look, not more complicated, but something you won't find pre-built for you in the hardware. And a way I would start thinking about this is, okay, this is a really daunting problem when I have X as my, you know, 32 or 64 variable, I need to do this. So we can start thinking, what if X is just 2 bits? How would I solve this if X is a 2-bit number? I want to end up with 0 if it's 0 and 1 otherwise. What would be a way of doing that? There's only 4 possibilities, so you can just test them all by hand. So if we think about our bitwise operators, probably the most useful is OR, because remember, OR is unconditionally set the bit. So what you can say is, I want to take the top bit of X and use it to set the bottom bit of X. So we can do that, and this says, take the top bit of X, move it over to the bottom bit, and set the bottom bit of X if it's not already set based on that. And so now the bottom bit of our 2-bit X value will be set if either of the 2 bits was set. But we have this top bit which might have some junk in it. So we need to only keep the bottom bit, and we can do that by doing ending with 1, a mask which only has the bottom bit set. So that's the solution for 2 bits. And we can extend this same principle of extract the bottom bit and do that, so we can come up with a solution like this. We take the, for 4 bits, we take the bottom bit, OR it with the second bit, which we just, in this case, I just extracted and took that bit right out, and take the next bit, extract it, take it right out, and so on. So here we're just selecting each bit, moving it over to the X end, and ORing them together, so if any of them are set, we get that bit set in the results. So any questions on what's going on here, why this is?
What do you mean if the bit is set, then we extract it?
So we extract the bottom, this extracts the least significant bit, this extracts the second least, third least, and fourth least, and so on, to the bottom most position. And we're then using that as a mask to say, set this bit if it was our, if the, set the least significant bit if the second least significant bit was set, if the third least significant bit was set, and so on. So this is a way we can do this for 4 bits, which is basically the same as what I wrote up there, just with all the different order operations. And we can extend this to 64 bits. Would anyone like to write that code? Probably not. Probably doesn't seem very efficient. You know, if you, you know, this seems way, way, way slower than what the hardware must be doing. So let's talk about, first of all, optimizing this. So I kind of reviewed this with my solution. So here we're taking a value, we're taking the bottom bit, and then ORing with something where we only kept the bottom bit. So all the higher bits are zeros. When we have that sort of pattern, which comes up a bunch, we can move the anding out. Because basically what we're saying is, I don't care what happens to those upper bits, because I know they're all zero. I can just make them zero at the end and not worry about what's going on there. And this is a common thing you'll see, is that you can distribute some operation like this, just like you distribute a multiplication. That works the same way. And so we can simplify this that way, down to this thing, which, so take it, shift it over 1, over 2, over 3, or them all together, and with 1, we get our result. And we could extend this to 64 bits, it just wouldn't fit on this line comfortably. So we got rid of a bit of wasted work and made this simpler, but there's a bigger sort of wasted work we have. So if you think about each of these bitwise OR operations with our just our 4-bit value, for each of the bitwise OR symbols, we're doing 4 OR gates, 4 OR operations, and we're ignoring 3 of them, because we never actually care about the upper bits. And gosh, wouldn't it be nice to actually take advantage of the fact that we're doing these extra OR operations and do more work with them. And we can make an observation that, well, if you look at what we're already doing, we're already computing things we need, because we have this sort of redundant structure to the calculation. So we're taking, we're computing in our bottommost bit, when we do this x ORed with x shifted over 1, we're computing x4 ORed with x3, which is part of what we want to compute. And that's the value we're actually using. But if we look up here, we're computing x2 ordered with x1, which is another thing that's part of what we want to compute. This is not a coincidence. This is because we have different parts of the value, and they're doing the same thing on every part. And what we actually want to do is we want to just OR these together, because that's the same, because OR is commutative. The same as ORing all the bits of x. And we can do that by just shifting this result y over to a line y2 and y4. So one way of thinking about this is that we've divided up this problem into two pieces. First is ORing the first top 2 bits of x and then the bottom 2 bits of x together. And then we combine that result later. And we found out we can do those two pieces in one OR operation, just because we can get things in the right part of the number. So if we do this, we can write code like this. And now by doing this, we've gotten rid of one OR operation, one bitwise OR operation, and made our code a bit more efficient. So any questions on what's going on here? This is probably the hardest to understand thing in this lecture, so. So we're taking advantage of the fact that the hardware, in fact, is doing lots of independent operations and doing, in this case, just 2 independent operations. And you can think of this as kind of we're making a tree of operations. We OR x1, x2, x3, and x4, and we do these in parallel, and then we OR the final results in parallel. And we can extend that to a larger value. So here, we're ORing every pair of values in our 32-bit number, and then the pairs of the pairs, and so on. So we still have this other tree, but we're getting more work done in parallel. So instead of having 31 OR operations, we have 5 to do the same work, because in the first OR operation, we're ORing 16 pairs that we actually care about. Every pair of bits, we actually use those results, and then we OR the pairs of the pairs, and so on. Having this sort of binary tree sort of get down to one value pattern. And this is a common thing that ends up happening in things like bitwise operations. And this, in fact, is probably what the hardware kind of looks like. The most common hardware to do is this value 0 is to have OR gates in this sort of pattern. So any questions about how this works? So for those of you who've peeked ahead at the lab and homework for this week, we have a bunch of sort of toy bit manipulation problems of varying levels of you might actually do this in code. So I should talk a bit about why we're having you do this. So part of it is that you'll understand a little better what's going on in the hardware, because this is sort of how the hardware exposes sort of the most fundamental operations. Part of it is because, you know, when you're manipulating like values in machine code or values you send across a network in a binary format or a file in a binary format, these are really handy to know about. Part of it is because we hear that people who do technical interviews disproportionately ask about these bitwise operations, apparently under the assumption that that people wouldn't just learn how to do them, because there's kind of like a skill you can learn, which is strategies for doing these problems. Which is not, you know, it's not like you can solve the problem just because you're clever. If you've seen problems like it before, it's a lot easier. And we hear that that's handy. So general problems for the homework and solving this in general is, you know, usual things like working things out on paper is handy, finding sub-problems you can solve. The general thing you're gonna most of the time want to do, it's a good first step, is figure out what bits you care about and use these mask and shift pattern. Like mask out the bits you care about, shift them over to the place you want them, often the bottom of a value, but maybe you want them somewhere else in the result. So shift them wherever you need them. Use that pattern. Make a mask to extract the particular bits with AND, shift them to where they need to be in the output. Remember about this factor and distribute. Remember about the divide and conquer. Either find these subproblems or find ways of doing things in parallel where you're doing the same operation on different parts of the value, but you have the same subproblem, which is you have two copies of the same problem, basically. Hope that comes up. Another thing that's handy to know is you can do common sub-expression elimination. So here, we can just compute not x and then negate that later. Saves operations, but you can do this more generally, like when d is not x, but like x ended with some mask, for example. You don't need to end with the mask 30 times, like make a temporary variable. Let's do that instead. And I would note with this that it's involved in the assignment, in the lab, and the homework, but a lot of people have missed it in the past, so I'll mention it. You can use variables in multiple lines in the homework and the lab. And it is technically possible to solve everything, including all the lab exercises, without using multiple lines in temporary variables, but you don't want to. So any questions about any of these strategies? So, with that in mind, there is a little exercise. So I want to take a value and swap the last, the least significant, and second least significant bits of the value. Which of these expressions actually does that? So you can work this out. You can talk to check with your neighbors. I recommend using paper, but if you can do it in your head, that's fine with me. Okay, who needs more time? couple. I guess not enough people. So I'll show you sort of the process I use to work through this, which is sort of piece by piece. So let's start with A. So here I have this. So here I'm shifting over X by 1. So if I have A, B, C, D, E, F, I get 0, A, B, C, D, E. And then I'm ending with 1 that selects the last bit. So I get E and all zeros elsewhere. Then I have this part, which is what that's representing, which is I take tilde 1, so that's something where all the bits but the last bit are set. And I am with that, so I select all but the last bit, so I get A, B, C, D, E, 0. Then I OR them together. 0 OR with A is A, 0 OR with B is B, and so on. So I get A, B, C, D, E, E. So I don't flip the last, I move the second to last bit to the last position, but I don't change anything else. I don't do anything else. So this doesn't actually do swapping E and F. So then you can look at B, and there's the same sort of pattern. So I look at this first part here. I shift over by 1 and get the same result that we saw in version A of selecting the second to last bit, putting it at the end, which seems like a good start for what we're trying to do. Then here, I shift over in the other direction. So I get B, C, D, F, 0. I shift in a 0. And I end with something with all the bits but the second to last set. So I get B, C, D, E, 0, 0. So we made a bit of a mistake here. Probably wanted not to end with 2 and not opposite of 2. Because if we'd end with 2, we'd select exactly that second to last bit, which is now moved to the correct position. And then I have my last part where I get A, B, C, D, 0, 0 because I end with not 3. So that would select all but the last two bits. And if I hadn't made this mistake in the second part, ORing these all together would give me what I want. But now ORing them all together will give me A ORed with B, B ORed with C, C ORed with D, and so on. Which is certainly not the same as swapping the last two bits. And we can look at version C. So our first part, ending with not 3, so that selects all but the last two bits, since those are the bits that are set in 3. So we get B, C, D, E, 0, 0. Then we have our second part here. We end with 1, so we select the bottom bit, and we move it over to the second to last position. And the last part here, we move the bits over by 1 and select the new bottom bit, which used to be the second bottommost bit, which is now in the bottommost position. When we OR these all together, we get 0 OR with 0, OR with E is E, 0 OR with F, OR with 0 is F, E OR with 0, OR with 0 is E, and so on. We actually get, the result we want, because I made a typo on this slide. Because that's not what that does. Okay. Let's remember to correct that. Because I have it as if we shifted, but there is no bit shifting here. So it just selects those bits. It doesn't do anything else. Okay. And then we have our version D here. So here we select the bottom bit, move it over 1. Then we select the second bottom two bits, E and F, and then shift over 1, shifting off the bottommost bit. So you get the bottom bit in the right position. So we OR those two things together. That seems great. We have FE. Now we just need to add in the rest of the bits. And then we have an XOR operation. So we're going to have F XORed with E and E XORed with F, which may or may not be the thing we want. So this does not work. Any questions about any of these examples and the process you'd use to evaluate them? Yes. So depending on the values of F and E, it could accidentally match what we're looking for, or it could not. So I note that when you're like doing the exercises in the lab, or when you're figuring this out by hand, you don't need to write everything on one line, certainly not when you're figuring it out by hand on paper. Like, you can do something like this, and this is even a valid solution for like the lab and homework exercises. And certainly easier to understand than what I showed you on that slide, even if that's what you might see in like real C code, because C programmers get used to these things and just write them all in one line. So I guess in our remaining time, some other little notes. So I mentioned this issue of rounding. So you can do rounding with proper division. And the solution is something known as a bias adjustment. This is described in your textbook and referred to by one of the homework exercises. And sort of the basic pattern is like you compute 7 plus the value you want to. In this case, we're dividing by 8, so we compute 7 plus the value to get the opposite rounding, to reverse the rounding, because if x plus 7 divided by 8 is different depending on the round, just changes the rounding, assuming we're rounding down, or rounding in the right direction. And so here we test the value, and do a conditional move if the sign bit was 0. This is the code my compiler actually generates for divide by 8. And that's how you deal with that rounding issue. It's something like this. There's different variations you can have. Any questions on this general idea? Okay. So another thing is we didn't go through all the bitwise operations that exist because we only went through the ones that have actually an exposure in C. So there's a bunch of bitwise operations which are exposed as instructions on many processors, including x86, that don't have an equivalent in C. So for example, there's a rotate instruction, which is like shift, but instead of shifting in zeros or ones, it just wraps around the number, so the bits that get shifted off go to the beginning, or the end, depending on which direction you're rotating. There's an instruction to figure out what's the first bit that's set in this number, or what's the last bit that's set in this number, what's the index of it. Because that's a very useful operation that's annoying to do with the bitwise operators efficiently. And there's an instruction to say how many bits are set. Because that's also, there's tricky ways of doing it with bitwise operations, but it's pretty annoying to do. And it's common for processors to expose things like this, so don't assume that the things we can expose for manipulating bits that's easy to do in hardware, like counting the number of bits set is easy in hardware. Don't assume that it's limited to what C happens to have exposed as operators. And that's all I have for today. So next time we'll start processors.